I'm RJ Bell with the sports betting headlines for Wednesday. Derek has his first full pack practice. How does Vegas react? They downgrade the Titans. Unrelated, there's money on the against the Titans. They're on the Bengals. Line was Titans 4, now down to 3.5. Bad news in Pittsburgh if you're a Steeler fan. Odds on next season's QB are out, and the favorite, Mason Rudolph. Derek Carr, second favorite. Jimmy G, third favorite. Speaking of Jimmy G, he's in the not necessarily involved in this one. It's the Raiders' next head coach, and we've got a favorite there. Jim Harbaugh is the favorite. Bisaccia is the third favorite at 4-1. Here comes a 4-hour The Vegas Truth covering all that and more.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it, RJ, live. Having some technical difficulties here today, AJ, but it's a big day. It's hump day, and we're going to be looking at, you know, closing the book on the teams that lost. AJ's got a take on Belichick. I'm not going to agree with. I can tell you that one right now. And then the second half of the show, we'll be more focused on really digging in and starting to dig deep into these four big games. I'm going to surprise you, AJ. I'm going to give a free pick, a free best bet at the end of this show. I think you're going to be surprised at it. Sports bettors, listen for the money. Sports fans to know more than their buddies. He's the fan who beats the man, AJ Hoffman.
Thank you, RJ. Great to be here on a day where Derrick Henry gets a full contact practice in. A surprise name at the top of the odds for the next Raiders head coach, and the odds move in both AFC games. What is the Vegas lead, RJ?
Well, the thing about the Raiders is the second favorite is Mike Tomlin. That's wacky.
Like you said, it'd be nice if there was a no.
Well, he didn't take the USC job, so nope. I mean, now it's the Raiders, perhaps. Let's start with, and when there's the big week of games like this in the playoffs, Super Bowl, I like to check in at the beginning of the shows and say, what has happened since yesterday, one game at a time? Maybe we start with the Titans game because we did have news on it.
Yeah, the Titans up to -3.5 against the Cincinnati Bengals. You mentioned Derrick Henry.
So that movement was downward from 4 to 3.5.
Yeah, which is odd because, like we said at the beginning of the show, Derrick Henry did get a full contact practice in. The money's still coming in on the Bengals, though.
And this is a very important lesson, and it's a complex one, but it's very simple. Overarchingly, everything in the world, in the universe, everything in it that's perceivable, is that right? Perceivable? That you can perceive, that anyone can perceive, is in the market. It is in the number. And if there's some better that uses horoscopes, and he found out Jimmy G is having a descending moon or something.
Oh.
Well, that doesn't sound good, does it?
Aries.
I mean, if that's the case, that could affect the line, meaning that guy might bet, or gal, perhaps, might bet enough. And, you know, they might say, hey, the gal might say, listen, I like Jimmy G's, I like his jawline.
I love Jimmy G.
But they might say his descending moon is a problem. Fade, line goes down. It really is the stock market's the best example of it. And it's like a living organism. You know, I was just reading last night the book that Limitless, the movie, was based on. Right? You ever see
yes.
that movie? And the guy started day trading, if you remember, when he started taking that AZT or whatever it was called. And he was making a lot of money. And he had a long 2 pages talking about how the stock market is an alive thing. And it's alive 24 hours a day, every corner of the globe, and everyone's intelligence, collective IQ, wisdom of crowds is all saying Google is worth this. and Twitter's worth that, and U.S. Steel is worth this. And you know what? There's a handful of people on earth that's ever been better than that market. We don't know if that's luck or even a Warren Buffett. Is that luck? A lot of people don't think it is. Some people think it is. But there's not many sports bettors that can beat this market either. So when the market moves, it's never going to just be one thing, or at least we can't be sure of that. Now, when news happens, and then the move happens right when the news comes out, you can feel pretty good about that. But some of the times, someone's waiting to play a team, but they think they might get a better line. News comes out that is kind of makes their side look even better. They're going to play that team right away, even though if that news wouldn't have moved the line by itself, it unlocks the people waiting that were going to play that side. So it's almost like, imagine you're at the sushi place. It's all you can eat sushi. You following me so
yes.
far? And let's say they only come out with this special, you know, salmon once every half hour. You might be trying to decide what you want to eat next. You see that salmon plate come by, you're going, give me that.
That's the one.
Right? So when it gets more attractive, people will act quicker. So it will move the line, though maybe that information wasn't enough by itself. It just triggered the move.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And what you said, that anybody being able to move the market if they've got enough capital behind them. I used to talk about this in Houston. There's a guy named Mattress Mack who's a furniture store owner.
Mm-hmm. Who is national story. It's a great story.
He will often go and bet millions of dollars on games. But
usually series.
But he did it on the Georgia-Alabama game. But he does this basically to cover his tail on furniture endorsements that he does. Like, if Georgia wins, you're going to get all this furniture for free. And then he'll go insure his money with a bet.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, that started with him where he said if the Houston Astros win the World
yes.
Series, there was going to be some big... You know,
it was any furniture you bought between now and now. If the Astros win, you don't have to pay for the furniture. It's free.
Okay. So now let's say he had, from what I remember, he was betting maybe $15 million or so.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's say he's exposed for $20 million, perhaps. Now he's saying, I'm going to hedge and bet $15 million on the other side. Now, is that free? No. He's going to have whatever the vigorish is. It might be 5% or whatever. So let's just say $10 million, $500,000 of expense, but now he's covered himself or to whatever degree. If it's $20 million, maybe he leaves a little exposure, however he decides to do that.
But it's just an example of a guy moving the market, and it's not necessarily information-based. It's just for some reason that's hard for us to really understand.
Now that's a fascinating point, because that would be one of the rarest occasions where something artificial, unrelated, moves the market. Now I'll give you an example of that. Monday Night Football, if there's a bunch of favorites that covered throughout the weekend. So now they have open parlays and open teasers potentially on the favorite on Monday Night Football. So it's the last game. If it wins, it's going to have a multiplier effect. It won't just be the exposure there. It's going to be the exposure of three and four teamers coming in.
Yep.
So what they'll do is they'll inflate that line on the favorite artificially because they want to get more money lopsided on the dog to kind of hedge themselves out a little bit. So, this is a rare thing. And when you find it, it's a great betting opportunity, because you can, if the line is moving because of the artificial money, you want to go the other way with it. We are Straight Out of Vegas. I'm RJ Bell.
Does it also say that maybe the market already assumed that Derrick Henry was going to play and was a full go?
All right. So, what do we speculate? Is there any news? Obviously, there's two ways lines move. They move, one, because of money being bet. That's the way. But why is money bet? Information or an opinion on the side? You see big steam moves. It's not information. Typically, it's going to be, hey, the syndicates love this team. On the other hand, if the quarterback plays or practices or he doesn't practice, Jimmy G has this news, there's a reaction to it, and that's going to be information. So obviously there was a little bit of, I'm guessing, sentiment, hey, since he's good at four, because remember, it was 3.5. It opened 2.5. Let's talk about this line move for a second. Tennessee Sunday night opened up 2.5. Okay. Now, it was pretty quickly 3.5. So a lot of early money on Tennessee. Then it drifted up to 4. Drifted. It just kind of touched up there. And remember, 4 is the last half, even quasi-key number. 4, 4.5.
Before 7.
Yeah, 6.
Okay.
I mean, 6 isn't a key, but 4 and 6 are, you know, fairly key. 5 isn't. Right?
Right.
Very few games end 5. So if you like the dog, you see that 4, it's going to be a trigger. You know, it's a time to grab it because 4.5. Now, listen, 4.5, you like it because you're going off a quasi-key number and you win if you take the dog, if it falls 4. But they didn't expect that, right? They had their speculation. I think this is that they like Cincy at 4, some of the syndicates. They grabbed it when 4 showed. And I also think that Henry was assumed he was going to play. And maybe this was worth an eighth of a point to Tennessee's advantage, and thus it didn't drop as much as it would have. Remember, you can have two forces moving at once. Like an injury, sometimes there's going to be like 3 guys on each team that are questionable. Well, if it ends up that all 3 is going to play for one team and only 1's going to play for the other, the line's going to move in favor of the team that has 3. But that one guy playing wasn't a negative thing. It was just compared to all the other things happening at once. The one guy from the other team, it was the fact 2 didn't is what made the net move towards the 3 out of 3 team.
Yeah, and I guess something else that I had thought about was most weeks we have a look-ahead line and like we know who's going to play the next week.
Yeah, it's because it's already scheduled.
This was an example of, I think that there's been love for the Bengals based on their performance last week.
You think the performance against the Bengals that they were one play away from maybe going to overtime?
The final score felt closer than the game was when you watched the game. I think most people saw that game and said, okay, the Bengals were clearly the better team there. Mm-hmm. And the Titans being at home, maybe the Titans are good. They're the 1 seed, but most people think they're a fraudulent 1 seed. Does public perception of watching the Bengals win have any effect on this week's line?
I think the perception came from the Kansas City performance
week 17,
and then with the Ravens performance the week before that. When you go in and I think it was the week before, it might have been 2 weeks.
I think it was the week before.
If you dominate a Ravens team that was the bully in that division for quite a while.
Yep.
I mean, Pittsburgh won some division titles, but there were, you know, the nemesis of the team. I mean, the Ravens have felt a little more vicious to me in a way. Maybe because I'm a Steelers fan. It could be that. I don't know. Just to be clear, though, it was so with Cincinnati, it was, let's see here. It was KC and Cleveland was week 18. Remember, week 18, they sat their guys. Baltimore was week 16. So Baltimore, KC, Cleveland, they finished.
And Baltimore and KC were both just dominant performances.
No doubt. And what we talked about at length on Friday was Joe Burrow against the blitz is amazing.
And I think Joe Burrow in general, his stock has risen probably more than any other quarterback this season.
Well, yeah, because you were screaming the number 14.
I was, and I was
and
wrong.
Mike Sando was wrong to have him at 14.
I was wrong. I'll admit that I was wrong. But that's also when come playoff time, people go to the window, they want to back the team who's got a quarterback. And right now I think everybody thinks the Bengals have that guy at quarterback.
I mean, no doubt an elite quarterback for sure. And there's been a lot of talk about Burrow versus your guy.
Josh Allen or Justin Herbert?
Herbs. And it's interesting. It feels like it's about 50-50 right now to take Burrow. Amongst the front office people, it seems to be more Burrow. Very surprising from where it was, you know, 20 weeks ago. And remember, here's the thing about Cincinnati. Sometimes you make a bet and you lose, but then it looks so good later. Like they were laying, you know, 7 and then they would have been laying 12 later, but somehow they didn't cover and you still feel sharp about it. I bet with a smile the Bears laying 2.5 to the Bengals at home. And when they won, and they won easy, they were up 20-0 or 17-0 in that game. And then late Cincy came on strong and almost came back. And I was like, yeah, but they were winning. Boy, that bet looks bad right now. What would the line be? Bears hosting Cincinnati right now.
Bengals 6.
Yeah, it might be high, but it's moved significantly. But remember this: Cincy dominated Pittsburgh both games, and they probably should have beat Green Bay. The team that's the Super Bowl favorite right now, Green Bay went into Cincy in week five. They went into overtime in that game. And Green Bay actually covered the spread, but it was, 25-22 final. It was not, it was a coin flip, I think,
sure.
At best. So Cincy's record wasn't great, though they won the division. The fact that they easily could have won that Green Bay game, and I think you could make the case in that way. They're, and they could have easily won the San Fran game.
They also could have easily lost to the Jaguars, which would give us a lot different taste about what
wait,
the Bengals.
That Thursday night game?
Yeah.
Listen, here's the difference. There's a difference if you look at... In fact, this is what we'll do. Let's take our first break, and we're going to put our fourth quarter win share to the test. My case is going to be that the Green Bay and the San Fran game against Cincy is going to be much, much, much better win share. And we'll explain exactly what that is if you're a new listener. And then your crazy Jacksonville example. Because we can all kind of talk about it, or we can let the math rule. We'll let the math rule when we come back.
He's RJ Bell. I'm AJ Hoffman. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I disagree with intervention. I disagree with protocol. If you speak out against the words, then the heaven's gonna fall.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm AJ Hoffman. In just a minute, we're going to take a look at the other games coming up this weekend, as we've already taken a look at Tennessee and Cincinnati and the interesting moves in that line.
A lot of good feedback on some of the market discussion in the first segment. If you missed it, check it out on the podcast. On any podcast player, you can do that and search Straight Out of Vegas. But we were talking about it. The NFL, these betting markets, there's a big opportunity to take a lot of bets that are about hedging other financial considerations. So think about, for example, a company, a big multinational corporation. They've got some input into their product. What could that input be?
Pork bellies. I have a hunch something very exciting is going to happen in the pork belly market this morning.
Let's say pork bellies, like in Trading Places. Is in that situation, you can say, hey, we got to buy a bunch of pork bellies coming. What are pork bellies?
It's like bacon.
Sounds good. We should do a cooking show once, like throughout the show.
That's a great idea.
And then it could be like Good Morning America a little bit. Someone would have to come in at 4 a.m, get it all cooked up. So you know that input's going in your product. You don't want there to be a big uptick in price and throws you. So you buy maybe half of them at a set price ahead of time on the futures market. So imagine if you're a team that if you win this game, the Big Ten championship game, let's say, and you're Michigan, you're going to the playoffs. Let's let them enjoy this one time that happens.
Once now, every 20 years you have this moment.
I don't know what the financial impact of that was, but maybe it's not Michigan. Maybe it's the Big Ten that does this, and because they wouldn't have anyone if Michigan lost. And now let's say that's $100 million. I don't know what it is. Let's say it's $100. Wouldn't it be interesting if they could go to Vegas or go anywhere now that takes bets and bet whatever amount they wanted? So if Michigan lost, they would make,
they'd still come up.
Yeah, $30 million.
That's right.
I mean, it's what companies do. They do it every day. A company, every day, a Google is doing dozens of hedges, and sports bettors hedge. You can hedge almost anything in this world except the thing that gets bet by the most people in the country, which is sports. But we would go, wait a minute, how could the Big Ten bet against Michigan? It's like, well, because it's a business.
Right. Got bills to pay.
I mean, and it's not even like you're betting against them. It's you're hedging out $100 million, whatever the amount of money is. And to me, one, sports betting is going to make us face beyond any shadow of a doubt it's going to make us face.
Every time I call it a game, you call it a business. And every time I call it a business, you call it a game.
It's a business and a game. And there's a lot of money on these games, I'll tell you that much. Even on college kids, where I came from, there was a lot of money on high school kids.
Oh.
Yep. The bookies made you lay minus 120 if you wanted to bet high school, though. Oof. You ever hear of Steubenville?
I have now.
They were very good. I was Steubenville. They had these spot sheets in high school. I played them, but morally, I wasn't sure about it, but I figured what the hell.
What's the average high school football game spread?
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, it's going to be bigger. You know, it's going to be very similar to colleges. You're okay. Going to have like 28, 38, you know, those kind. But then you're going to have tight ones, you know. These spot sheets did the -1, -1. You want to talk about bookies being cockroaches. Now, think about this. Is winning three games is seven, let's say a three-teamer, is 7-4-1 or 8-4-1, 7-2-1. Every eight times it happens, it's going to happen once randomly. Seven times it doesn't. So if you got paid seven, you'd break even. So the difference is they actually paid five. So 5-1 was a typical three-team payout on these spot sheets, right? Okay. Then they came up with ties lose. Ties lose. You know why? Because
they're cockroaches.
All right. So now, then they come out with the -1, -1. If the game was around Pick'em, they didn't want to worry about who was going to be favored. They just made both teams favored. So imagine now, you're in Vegas, you're getting, you know, better than 5-1 on a three-teamer. Ties, in fact, they have some ties win spot sheets. They hurt the payback, but still, ties don't lose. And you actually can get a Pick'em or a +1, not a -1, -1. And I still remember the day I became anti-bookie. And there were a lot of bologna sandwiches that I could have ate room temperature at various conventions that I didn't get because I was so negative against some of these bookies in town. But here was the thing. I figured a way to beat this guy that was doing the -1, -1, the crazy spot sheet stuff. And it was simple. I had the internet like in 96, and there was this weird site called DBS that was given live odds straight from Vegas, and you couldn't get those anywhere else. So what people would do is call the score phones, right, and get the odds. And so my guy would come out with the odds at 6:30 on the football or basketball games, right, and football night games, and you had to bet by 7:30, but he didn't move the line.
So they were locked in, like the Westgate lines for the contest.
Yeah, 6:30, but for an hour.
For an hour, okay. Yeah.
So what I did for years was I would call the score phone at 25 after, see which way the line moved, take my, like, say, six picks I liked. If the line moved in my favor, I bet those. So I would bet maybe a third of them, right? So I would handicap maybe six or eight games I liked, and then I'd bet two or three of them because of the line move. And I was betting a nickel a game when I was, like, I mean, crazily, you know, at this point I was out of college, but I was betting 300 a game when I was like 16. God strike me dead back in 88. Yeah. And So I remember one time right after college, I won 35,000 in a week.
Wow.
Betting 500. It was a crazy run. And I had all the hundreds. And I wrapped it up and, you know, manicured and was just sitting and playing with it for the, like, in the house. It was just like, it was kind of like.
Imagine if you'd had Instagram then. Be like Johnny Manziel on the money phone.
I'm not sure I would have. Oh, we got the inflation calculator. Yeah, let's see what 35 would have been. But I ended up buying a house that I still own with that money. So it all worked out. But this bookie, he hated me beating him so bad. He hated me. He was beating everyone left and right. He was saying, I'm going to. One time he looked at me and threatened. He goes, I'm going to figure out what you're doing. And and he's like, I tell you, I mean, we can. There's some good ones.
Cockroaches.
He wasn't one of them. Yeah.
So what did we figure out on the inflation calculator?
So if you're making $350 bets in 88, that'd be like $800 a pop for bets nowadays.
That's more than double. Now, do me a favor. Do 35,000. Well, I guess it'd be the same thing, right? So it'd be 82,000.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It doesn't seem like it's that the inflation's. I know lately it's been. Okay. Anyway, this is an inflation. This is organic growth. Fastest growing show on Fox Sports Radio. Blah, 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 blah. Thank you. Blah, blah, blah. And it is 65 degrees. The neon is percolating.
And let's take a look at some of these games for the weekend, RJ. Green Bay, 6-point favorites now against the 49ers.
Okay, so to me, this is a Jimmy G issue. It's going to be cold. He's less than 100% for sure. The theory is the line says he's going to have to be thrown from behind. That's not his strong suit. Now, on the other hand, you've got Green Bay that can't stop the run. And don't forget, one of the most amazing end-of-game situations the entire season was Aaron Rodgers bringing Green Bay back in the first San Francisco matchup. Do you remember that?
Yep.
What was it? I think it was very analogous to the amount of time Green Bay would have had if Baltimore had scored on that 2-point conversion against them. So it was because we were using that as a gauge. What was it, McKay? I bet you remember. What was it, 38 seconds?
Exactly, 38.
Yep. Yeah, I remembered that. But I just, we talked about it after. But the, to me, how different is this comment? Well, one, Green Bay doesn't have home field if they don't win that game.
True.
Right?
Don't have a bye.
I mean, think about that. And they wouldn't be, hey, Green Bay just beat a number one seed. Just, they beat San Francisco. So it was a hell of a, I don't know what the NFL projection was, but
it said that Green Bay, when they got the ball at 25-yard line, 37 seconds to go, down by two, had a 25% chance to win.
Boy, that was giving a lot of credit to them. Wow. So they said 37, we said 38?
Yeah, it was 37 seconds to go.
I think that's wrong. I think it was 38. At least someone said it was 38. That was in week, let's see here, when was that? That was week, wow, that was way back in,
week three.
Why am I missing that? Oh, there it is, week three. And now this is interesting. So this game was in San Francisco, and San Fran was a 3-point underdog in this game. 3-point underdog at home. So now if we flip home field, we're giving 3 points to Green Bay. Okay, so now it's 6. And let's give 1.5 to San Francisco. That's about right. So this line would be about 7 if it were the same value of these teams as it was in week three. So do we really feel like that Green Bay has improved that much relative to San Fran? I mean, San Fran, that's a fascinating question. Mackenzie, you're the resident San Fran expert here. What's your sense of what the power rating on the 49ers was in week three versus now relative to Green Bay?
I think it's back to top five level, which it was to start the season. And slight correction, the 49ers were actually 3-point favorites week three versus the Packers.
Really? Let me see something here. That's weird. You know something? Someone's getting some heat. The first way, I got a new sheet. Pretty cool, don't you think?
It is very cool.
It's got every score of every game this year on a 17x11. Right? So it's like two pieces of paper, but it's actually called a tabloid piece of paper. And somehow, what does it say for San Francisco? Yeah. You know something? I think I made a mistake.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So it's doing it from the team's perspective. That's okay. God darn it.
It happens to the best of us.
You know,
there's
I had
some sigh of reliefs out there in the world.
Yeah. That's a good point.
How much of the number being where it is right now is, A, questions about Jimmy G, but also Bosa, Warner, the injuries that happened last week for the 49ers?
Yeah, for sure. But let's double back to what the line actually was, because now it asks the question in the flip, right? Because it was going to be a 6-point swing, whatever way that mistake went. Has San Fran really relatively improved that much? Because I didn't think Green Bay grew more than San Fran by any significant amount. Luckily, I had the wrong line, but my instinct was that's not right, right? So,
right.
I mean, that's a good sign. So let's think about this. Is if Green Bay was a 3-point underdog in that game, that remember, they had just got crushed the week, 2 weeks before against New Orleans. Green Bay got killed in that game. And 38-3. See, I got my sheet right in front of me. I got that one straight. And the fact of the matter is, then they went against Detroit. You remember, were behind at halftime on that Monday night game. And then they did okay in the second half, covered. And then they went in with San Fran, who had the history of running on them very effectively, kind of makes sense that at that point, San Fran was considered the better team by a significant margin. To be laying 3 at home, San Fran, one of the worst home teams. You know, their home field is tiny. 1, I'd say. So them laying 3 was saying they are clearly better than Green Bay. We're now at a point where Green Bay gets 3 at home because they have the better home field. And I would make the case.
You said arguably the best home field.
I think almost certainly at this point. Amongst the teams in the playoffs, the competitive ones, when they're rocking and rolling, New Orleans and Seattle, and Minnesota is on that next cusp. I mean, yeah, it's Seattle's gone downhill. New Orleans has gone downhill. I don't think they're the big three back in the 3 years ago. New Orleans, Seattle, Green Bay. Green Bay is the last one.
Where do Buffalo and Kansas City fall?
Kansas City in regular season actually is like below average. Okay. I mean, the numbers say that. Now, some of that is, remember, here, this is what people get wrong about home field. It's not how good you are at home. It's how good you are at home relative to how good you are on the road. If you're like the Patriots.
The Patriots, I was going to say, they're not considered to be a great home team because they're so good on the road and at home, well, at least in the Brady era.
During the Brady era, they were so good on the road, their home field might have been 1.5, even though they were the toughest place to play. Because it's really the difference between home and Green Bay's always been bad on the road relative to what you'd expect from a team with that record.
Right.
Up until under. Before LaFleur, Aaron Rodgers was below 500 for his career on the road. Think about that for a second. Below 500 for his career.
ATS?
Straight up.
Oh,
straight up.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So
now he is 5 games over 500. Being 39-9 over the last 3 years will do that for you.
Okay. That's interesting. So
be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, I'm A.J. Hoffman. He's the voice of Vegas, R.J. Bell.
When we come back, I don't think I recovered that. When we, Dan takes a lot, he internalizes a lot.
Remember the time when I said, well, Dan had breaking news. Mm-hmm. Does that mean we skipped the update? And you were like, are you crazy?
Yeah,
you just tried to skip over him completely.
But it was a mistake. You were trying to do it on purpose. When we come back, if you know Dan, you knew the difference in that. That's all I would say. We are going to finish up going through the updated odds and look at some of the postmortem.
And he's R.J. Bell. I'm A.J. Hoffman. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm AJ Hoffman. Let's take a look at these other games. The Kansas City Chiefs, 2-point favorites hosting the Buffalo Bills, but money coming in on Buffalo.
You know, a couple mistakes this show. Does the audience want a best bet, AJ? I'm going to let you decide because I promised an early best bet here. What do you think?
They certainly want a best bet.
Even though I made a few mistakes.
I think they're okay with it.
Remember in Godfather 1 when they had the meeting with Sollozzo? He was good with the knife, but only in matters of business. After the meeting, he said, have Luca Brasi come see me. And he whispered, that's what I, when I forgot Dan Beyer, I've got to get, I mean, security. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen.
We don't know if you're here tomorrow.
He takes it serious. I love Dan. Yeah, my best bet's going to be in the next game. What's your take on this one?
On the Bills and Chiefs? Mm-hmm. I think that the Bills have proven that they are for real. I think defensively, they've been better than people think all year. I think that their defensive numbers are better than people would think
the Bills' numbers are great. It's just the strength of schedule has been so bad.
That's the scary part. But what we have seen is Josh Allen show up big in the biggest games. And to have the best game of his life in that game against the Patriots last week. And before that, the best game of the season this year was against Kansas City on the road. So I think Josh Allen is stepping up into these big moments. And I asked the guys in the back, you could make an argument over the last two seasons. If you just take the last two seasons, forget the rest of time. Josh Allen's been a better quarterback than Patrick Mahomes.
I don't think that's even a debate. In fact, I think each individual year that's been the case.
Yeah, you're probably right on
so,
that, too.
I mean, it's got to be when you add them up. Here's the only thing about Buffalo, and I'm going to pose one thought to you here, is Let's throw out the New England games. Why? Because that's a quirky matchup. New England runs an offense and a defense is different than any other really in the league right now. It's very atypical, or it's not typical. And because of that, it's a challenge, but it's not a challenge that necessarily translates to the rest of the league. Other than that, let's look at Buffalo since their bye. I mean, they had the bye in week 7. All right. Miami during a losing streak, Jacksonville, Jets. Oh my gosh. Then they get crushed by the Colts, 41-15. Okay. They kill the Saints, but, you know, Saints, whatever you want to say. Win game happens next. They lose at Tampa.
Overtime.
They lose at Tampa.
They did.
Carolina, New England again, set it aside. Atlanta again, or Atlanta Jets. So literally, what is their most impressive? I mean, the Saints is impressive, all right? But even when you throw out the game, you know, two New England games, you've got 11 games since a bye. You throw out two, there's nine. There's not one. Saints is the only impressive game.
And not even a playoff team.
Not even a playoff team. In fact, they didn't even play. They didn't beat a playoff team that entire run, again, except New England. Now, you can say, well, why are we doing that? It's because New England's so different. It doesn't mean the Bills aren't good against New England. The question is, are they good against whomever? Well, earlier in the year, we saw they were good against KC. So I tell you this, if the Bills win, I'll be on Tennessee the next week. I strongly feel that one. But let's do my best bet.
All right, let's go to the LA Rams and the Tampa Bay Bucks. You're looking at 3 with reduced juice right now on the Bucks.
Okay, so I'm going with the Rams, +3. And here's why.
This surprises me.
It does. It does. The more that I've thought about this, I've heard other analysis, and it really started striking home, is this is going to be a situation like the Super Bowl last year that after the game we said, of course, Kansas City wasn't going to be able to do anything without their line, right? Is you got a great cornerback in the Rams, Ramsey, and how many good receivers do they have?
Does Tampa have one?
Exactly, Evans. So if Ramsey's able to shut him down, now what?
The Rams also very good against opposing tight ends.
Another factor is you got Wirtz, who may or may not play, and the D-line for the Rams. I think what's his stat? Are we hearing Wirtz is playing?
Wirtz. We haven't heard yet if he's playing. We know he's going to be limited at best. But one thing we've always talked about, Brady against the blitz kills it. When you can get pressure with four.
Yeah, Rams don't blitz.
They don't blitz. The Rams will get pressure with just four.
And with a weakened line, it just feels like everything's pointing against them. And Stafford got the, you know, so all I'm saying is this feels like an even game. They played once. Rams won pretty easily. The fact I'm getting 3 is extra. It's an early best bet. And if you think about it, I actually am going to look to bet the Rams on some alternative lines. So let's say, I can get the Rams -9.5, but with a jumbo payout. Because one thing about Brady, when it starts to go bad, sometimes it's like someone that has like a facelift, they have a toupee on, they got all, and then the wind starts blowing and one thing flies off, the next thing flies off, next thing they look 20 years older.
He starts smashing his Microsoft Surface and things like
that. So this could be a scene.
Oh, I don't disagree. If you missed any of today's show, including RJ giving an incredible breakdown of the way the market works in the first segment, you got to check out the podcast at foxsportsradio.com.
+3 dumb mistakes.
Yeah, we're going to be back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 o'clock Vegas time. He's RJ Bell. I'm AJ Hoffman. We are straight out of Vegas right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!